see each of you out this evening. You want to go ahead and get your Bibles out. You make your way to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, that's where we're going to begin this evening. Certainly a blessing that we're here together. It's always a good occasion when we can get together with other Christians, enjoy the company of fellowship together, worship our God, sing to Him, go to Him in prayer, and study from His Word. And that's what we're going to be doing this evening. I hope that it's a benefit to all of us having been here as we study together. If you'll be making your way to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, that's where we're going to begin. And, you know, last Sunday morning, if you were here, we talked about ordinary Christians. We met a couple of ordinary people, Aquila and Priscilla, and we talked about all the extraordinary things that they did as ordinary Christians, just serving God, working for Him throughout that time that we got to spend with them, about 16 or 17 years that Paul knew them. And just the extraordinary things that they did in their lives as in service to God. After services, we had someone come up and say something to me. During our lesson, we followed them and we met a man in Ephesus with them named Apollos. And Apollos, you might consider an extraordinary Christian. We see the things that he's doing there and the good that he's doing in the service to God, the example that he's setting and the way he's influencing all those people around him, the influence that they had on him that enabled him to continue to do those things. I had someone come up to me after services and say, you know, I'm happy being an ordinary Christian. But at some point in my life, I think I would actually like to take that next step. I would like to go from being an ordinary Christian to being an extraordinary Christian. How can I do that? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about moving from being ordinary to extraordinary. We want to make that step, no matter where we are in our spiritual journey, no matter where we are in our spiritual life, we want to always be moving forward. We want to move past being an ordinary Christian to being an extraordinary Christian. Several steps that we're going to look at this evening. The first of which is that when we begin any transition like this, we have to understand who we are. We have to understand where we are in our spiritual life. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 there, says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Paul here tells the Corinthians to test yourself. I want you to understand who you are. He says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Now, if we start thinking about moving from being just an ordinary Christian to an extraordinary Christian, the first step there is that we have to be a Christian. You know, as we go through these steps tonight, what we're going to see is it's a lot of self-examination that's going to have to take place. See, these are things that we have to do on our own. No one can do them for us. We have to sit back and realize some things about ourselves so that we can better serve God. So, the first question is, are you a Christian? I hope that you are. Most of us here are. I would say just looking around, since I recognize most everyone here, most everyone here that isn't understands what they need to do, understands the corrections that they need to make and the steps that they need to take to become a Christian. So we want to move from being an ordinary Christian to an extraordinary Christian. We have to understand who we are and understand that all of us are different. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And lots of times when we read these verses, we think, you know, I want to do something, but I'm definitely not a preacher. I'm definitely not a minister. I'm not a teacher. That's not who I am. So maybe I don't need to do any of these things because that's what's mentioned. I think we're focusing on the wrong thing when we read these verses, if that's what we look at. See, as he begins there in verse 10, he says, each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another. We want to move from being ordinary to extraordinary. We have to realize that we all have different abilities. We all have different talents. We all have different gifts that God has given us. Different ways that we can serve Him. And we do that through service of one another. We don't all have to be preachers and teachers. But we can serve other Christians. And because of that service that we give to others, that help that we give to others, he says, in all things, God may be glorified. God can be glorified through the service that we give. No matter what our talent is. No matter what ability we have. God can be glorified through our service to Him. The next thing we have to do is understand that we have to be spiritually independent. And that might come as a little confusing to you. You might think, well, what do you mean? You know, we're all here together, working together. And we are. We're serving God as a group here. But we are a group of individuals. You know, I said it's going to take a lot of self-reflection tonight. As we move forward, we have to do that on an individual basis. We have to choose to do that on an individual basis. Choosing to serve God better. Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." Let's tie another verse to that, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 there, says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." And what Paul is saying here in these two verses is, it doesn't matter what other people are doing. It doesn't matter if other people are doing great things or if other people are utter failures. You can choose how you're going to serve God. You can choose what type of service you're going to give Him and how much effort you're going to give and how hard you're going to work in your service to God. We choose that individually. But when we choose that individually, we can come together and collectively do great things. But we don't take credit for something someone else has done. That's what he told the Galatians. Just because someone else is doing great things doesn't mean you are doing great things. Just because someone else is a failure doesn't mean you are a failure. We also have to invest in lifelong learning. You know, when I first started thinking about this, I went home and started reading some of these self-help writings that people put out. And there's a lot of things dealing with business. You know, people that, you know, if you want to excel as a CEO or if you want to move up the corporate ladder, all of these things really share some of the same ideas, the same principles. And they absolutely apply to us spiritually. Because no matter what you're doing in life, the idea to be successful comes when you're prepared. And that doesn't just stop, you know, once we become a Christian. You know, becoming a Christian isn't the end game for us, right? That's really only the beginning for us. It doesn't stop, our learning doesn't stop once we've become a Christian. No, we continue to learn. We should continue to learn. We should strive for that. Because situations in our life are going to come up where we need to be prepared. If you turn to your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2, you can probably fingerpoint the verse that we're going to go to, because it's the same verse that everyone goes to when they turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And that's verse 15. You can probably quote it. It says there, be diligent. If you have a New King or a King James Bible there, it says, study to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And a lot of times we quote that verse and we talk about study, you know, and make sure that you study. But when we back up and we look at the whole paragraph there, what we see is the reason for that study. The reason that it's so important for us to be prepared. See, Timothy there is in Ephesus. And there's these two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, and they are false teachers. As Paul's writing to them, or writing to Timothy, he's writing about them. He speaks about them. And he tells you, you know, you want to be prepared. Because there's going to come a time where you have to stand up. You have to stand up to these two men or to someone else. We want to be prepared to do that. If we want to move from being an ordinary Christian to an extraordinary Christian, we want to make sure that in any situation, we're prepared. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, you may think, thinking about Paul writing to Timothy, that, you know, that's not really who I am. You know, I'm going to use a different talent. I don't know that I really want to ever talk to anybody. I don't know that I have the way that I speak. I don't know that I have that eloquence about me that I can speak to someone else. I can talk to someone else. And when Paul writes to the Corinthians, that's actually what he says about himself. Think about influential people in spreading the gospel of Christ. Paul is right at the top of the list. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 there, if you're looking at the first couple of verses there, the first verse there, he says, I didn't come to you with excellence of speech and wisdom. I didn't come to you as some person who can stand before you as eloquent. I can't even get it out. I can't, you know, that's what Paul says. Paul says, I didn't come with excellence of speech. But instead, I came in weakness. In fear, in trembling. And that's what all of us experience sometimes when we come to that point where we have to have that discussion with someone else. One of those difficult conversations that we have to have from time to time. That's how we feel. But we can rest easier when we know that we're prepared. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Be prepared. Be ready. Because there will come a time. Something else we have to do is we have to have high expectations for ourselves. We have to set goals. Any person that is successful in life, if you ever read anything that talks about, you know, business people or people in sports, you know, that have, you know, great success in whatever it is they're doing, one of the things those people always talk about is the fact that they set goals for themselves. And they set high goals. They set high expectations. Things that people would think are unattainable. And that's what they work for. And as Christians, we need to do that as well. We need to set high expectations. We need to have high expectations for ourselves. We need to set goals for ourselves and try to work towards those things. Now I want to contrast two verses here with you. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We'll just read verse 2. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "And therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now, here in these two verses, we see polar opposites, right? We see this great cloud of witnesses. That's Hebrews chapter 11. The Hebrew right there at the beginning, chapter 12. He says this great cloud of witnesses, that's chapter 11, the heroes of faith that we call them. And then in Romans chapter 12, he's talking about the world. And he says, you know, don't compare yourself to them. Don't be like them. And it's the same for us today. You know, we set high expectations for ourselves. We don't want to look to the world to look for that example, right? We want to separate ourselves from the world. We want to be the example to the world. But instead, we want to look to this cloud of witnesses. There are some extraordinary Christians here. You probably have some extraordinary Christians in your family. Those are the people that we want to look to. Those are the people that we want to emulate. Those are the people that we want to have as an example for us. Someone that we can work alongside, someone that we can go to and have as a mentor that can bring us along. We don't have to be young to do that. We don't have to be young to look for someone to look up to. I think we have a lot of extraordinary Christians here, and we do. We have extraordinary Christians that stand in this pulpit. We have extraordinary Christians that go back and teach our classes. We have extraordinary Christians that keep us safe, and we don't even know they're there. We have extraordinary Christians that go and visit people when they're sick. They go and they visit people when they're in the nursing home. We have extraordinary Christians that call people and send people cards and letters. They take food by when someone is sick or when someone has passed away. We have extraordinary Christians working together. And we don't all have to do all of those things. But we need to do something. We need to work alongside of these other extraordinary Christians. You know, one of the things about having a mentor, having someone who is extraordinary in whatever field it is, most of the time, those people like to talk to you about the great things that they're doing. People like to share their successes. If you have something that you want to do to become an extraordinary Christian, you can find someone here to help you. You can find someone here to help you improve, to help you be better. We have to set those goals for ourselves. Something, though, is going to happen when we start trying to obtain those goals. We're either going to have success or we're going to fail. And no matter the situation, we have to deal with it. And the reason I say that we have to deal with success along with failure is because no matter what happens, we can't dwell on it. We can't dwell on success just like we can't dwell on failure. Two verses again, James chapter 1, verse 12 there. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And then 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we go through our spiritual life, we're going to have great successes. If you're a Christian, you have had a great success in your life the day you became a Christian. You're also going to have utter failures. You're going to be tempted, and you're going to give in to that temptation. You're going to sin. And no matter the case, we have to keep moving forward, knowing that we can overcome. When we have those failures, we can overcome those. God has promised us that if we ask for forgiveness, He will forgive us. We know that we have a supportive group here. That when we need prayer, when we need support, when we need encouragement, we give it to one another. And when we have success, we have to continue moving forward still. The only analogy I can think of, the only example I can think of is in sports. You know, it doesn't matter. The World Series is going on. It doesn't matter what you do when you come to the plate. It doesn't matter if you hit a home run or if you strike out. The next time you come to the plate, those two things don't matter. It's a whole new play. Past success doesn't continue to give you success. Past failures don't hold you down. Not unless you let them. The same is true for us spiritually. We can be successful and still fall away. We can be an utter failure and make it to the top. That's what we have to do, though. We have to decide that that's what we're going to do. We have to decide that we're going to work harder. We're going to work harder tomorrow than we did today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You know, we want to be extraordinary Christians. We want to move from being ordinary to the extraordinary. No matter where we are along that journey, we have to work. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of effort on our part to continue to push through when we have difficult times. But we can. In fact, that's what we were made for. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Jesus or in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were made for good works. We were made to serve God. We were made to go from being an ordinary Christian to an extraordinary one. We're going to have to do some self-reflection. We're going to have to understand where we are. We're going to have to work. We're going to have to be diligent in that work. We're going to have to look to others to help us. But we can do it. This evening, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you haven't begun that journey yet. You haven't begun the journey from ordinary to extraordinary. But you can take an extraordinary step tonight. You can enter the waters of baptism and have your sins forgiven. And begin that spiritual journey. If you're here and you are a Christian, you have sin in your life that you need to make public correction of, if there's any way we can assist you, we can invite you now to come while the rest of us stand and sing.